Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well.
Praise the Lord, praise you, the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned in to Are You a Liability? That's personal. Are you a liability or an asset to the kingdom? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from Upper Woods, Michigan. On tonight, I'm asking all listeners, as I always do, but especially for the new listeners for the first time on tonight, please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along with the man of God in the persons of none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, my brother and friend in the name of Jesus. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem, and then he's going to give God's word message on tonight. I want you, as it was our words of prayer, that you all be reminded. All souls are kept in archives for future listening. So if you missed any souls in the past, you can always go to my show website. I hope you have the pen and paper so you can write this down and pass it to yourself and pass it on to others so they can be blessed as well. My show website is blogtalkradio.com/segment. With an S and the N, servant, ambassadors, with an S and the N, this is, with an S and the N. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/servant, ambassadors, this is. Again, also the Captain Archives for future listening. So if you missed any shows, you can always go back to the website and click that and listen to them and be blessed by God's word. But we always have this prayer. Nothing has changed. We're going to do the same thing on tonight. So I'm asking all listeners to do the touch and agree with me in prayer on tonight. Because once again, as I always say, we do serve the awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our living Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, is in his name we come once again in the name of Jesus, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, from the oldest to the youngest, on both sides of my family. We can mark the consciousness of this entire family and every saved believer all over the world that are true believers of Jesus Christ and that are being doers of your word and not just hearers only. We pray, Lord, and ask that you will forgive us again of all of our sins and transgressions in the name of Jesus, so that our work for you on earth would not be in vain, and that way we can continue to move forward and complete our God's assignment in the earth for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We come now, Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us. We know we don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it, but we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We come now, Heavenly Father, lifting up the lips of all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. You know who they are. You know where they are. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to send them anywhere because you're already there. And we know that you are still a promise keeper. You're still touching, healing, and delivering and setting the people free, those that are sick and afflicted in their mind, spirit, and body. So touch, heal, and deliver, Heavenly Father, as only you can, in the name of Jesus. I continue to look at Bishop Rose Mary Jackson, Sister Lavinia Calloway and her entire family. I look at Pastor Martin King, my first cousin, all those that have illnesses, whether I know about it or not, but you know, and even those that have requested prayer on Facebook and on social media that I reach out and look at on my Facebook page that are standing in need of prayer. Touch, heal, and deliver each one of them, Heavenly Father, that you would alone would get the glory in the name of Jesus. Continue to comfort and strengthen all those that are bereaved all over the land. Let them feel your peace, your joy, your presence, even your comforting spirit, even as they go through their hour of bereavement. We want to look at that family of the young lady that was killed on the highway early this morning. She was decapitated. So, and his friend that was along with her on the motorcycle on the freeway last night, you know all about that situation. Comfort and strengthen that family in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray now and ask that you move by your spirit. Touch, heal, and deliver and strengthen all those that are maybe tuning on tonight that's not saved in Jesus' name. We know that you know who they are and where they are. So we pray that the work will forth with power through Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight as you use them through your Holy Spirit. That those that are spiritually blind on tonight will hear your word on tonight and not only hear your word, but they will receive it. And they would open their own mouths to confess their sins and ask Jesus Christ, your Son, to come into their hearts and save them as only you can in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in every believer. We thank you for your angels that watches over us throughout the day and throughout the night while we slumber and sleep. So we just give you glory. We give you honor and praise, Heavenly Father. We thank you for every man and woman of God that you have anointed and appointed for such a time as this who are standing on your word and preaching your word. Even as your word be ready to go forth on tomorrow, whether they're in the house of worship or even on social media, I pray, Lord, we pray and touch and agree right now that you will move by your spirit in their lives, that you would use them for your glory as they deliver your word. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works and that it will never lose its power. So we pray, Lord, that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you alone will get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on tonight, another spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, laughter is a mood enhancer with no side effects. Now, that's powerful right there. I like that. Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, laughter is a mood enhancer with no side effects. I hope you all have your pens and paper ready so you can take down these a few announcements before I turn the mic over to Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, Deacon Marvin Cox will be now delivering God's word every first Thursday night over the same worldwide networking platform. Deacon Marvin Cox will be sharing inspirational points and delivering God's word every first Thursday night. Minister Juan Eppinger from the Morning Star Baptist Church on the east side of Detroit deliver God's word every first Saturday night. I have now Bishop Jairu, Bishop Rosemary Jairu from Slidesville, Louisiana will be coming forth every second Thursday night, delivering God's word. She's filling in for minister or elder Benny Gaskin III, who has now a new of God assignment. So I have asked her to step into his place. So Bishop Jairu, Rosemary Jairu, will be filling in every second Thursday night. And then Deacon Marvin Cox comes back again every second Saturday night at 8 o'clock p.m. delivering God's word. On the Saturday, the 31st and the 28th, which is the second and third Saturday, Pastor Norman King, my first cousin from Greensboro, North Carolina. He is the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries. As I said in my prayer, we want to continue to touch and agree and lift him up in prayer that the Lord will recover him and restore him from the COVID virus. But he will be delivering God's word every third and every fourth Saturday night from Greensboro, North Carolina. So those are the announcements that I have for now. So I hope you mark your calendars so you can pass the word on to others that you know of that might be interested in tuning in and being blessed by God's word. So we're going to go to a short music break right now. We're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. So I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as we get ready to do this music break. Total praise. God deserves our total praise, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, no matter what we're going through. God is still worthy of our total praise. Before I yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox, I want to give a shout-out to my pastor and bishop, Bishop James A. Dennings, the pastor of the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church on the east side of Detroit, and also my church family. And I'm asking all listeners to keep in prayer Mother Phillips, one of the mothers of our church, and also Mother Margaret Watson of the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church. So, and also want to continue to lift up my Uncle Malachi in Greensboro, North Carolina, who was released from the hospital last week from doing chest pains. So we want to continue to lift up, we want to just continue to lift everyone up that we know of and even those that we don't know of that are sick and afflicted. We want to continue to encourage one another and lift each other up in prayer. So right now we are ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, I hope you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along, because he's going to share with us another inspirational poem first, then he's going to go directly into God's Word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Thank you, Brother Brown. First, give an honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, to all of these wonderful listeners, to the people who took time out from their busy schedule to tune in to see what the Lord has to say on this evening. It's my ultimate pleasure to be able to bring forth God's word. That being said, I will immediately go into tonight's lesson. Okay.
The point first. Do the point first.
Oh yeah.
Do the point first.
Okay. Tonight's poem is called Judgmental. Judgmental is a crazy judge. He forms an unfair opinion, and he won't even budge. You go before him, you will surely wince. He's convicted many without evidence. When he puts you on trial, you will surely come short, because hearsay from others is admissible in his court. He will sentence you to a lifetime of shame, not really caring if someone else is to blame. He's not a healer, but a reputation killer. He speaks what he feels and not what he knows. Then he passes it on to others. That's how a rumor grows. He's cruel, mean, unfair, and malicious. To sum it up, being judgmental is vicious. His ears are big, but his mind is small. Gossiping about others makes him feel tall. Being judgmental is so very easy to do. Don't speak it if you don't know it. Is my advice to you. Amen. I'm going to immediately go into the lesson. Brother Brown, I had the poem in front of me inside the poem being part of the lesson. Okay. Now, I will read to you tonight. We're coming from the book of Matthew, verses the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 3, and it reads, "Judge not, lest ye be judged. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and what judgment ye meet, it shall be meted to you again. And why behold the mote that is in thy own eyes, thy brother's eyes, excuse me, and consider not the beam that is in thy own eye?" I've just read unto you from the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, King James Version, and may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may edify our souls forever. We're to choose the topic tonight. That topic would be judgmental. And I'll come to you tonight with a certain bit of sadness in my heart, because someone has made me unhappy, but I look back on activities in the vineyard, and I found out through studying that it is all the Christian's desire that God's house of prayer be full. It's our desire that our brothers and our sisters and our friends and our loved ones and our mothers and our dads participate in the house of prayer.
Amen.
But I got news for you. We are the ones that is keeping them out of the house of prayer. And you might ask yourself, how are we keeping them out of the house of prayer? And it's one word, or we can make it two words, which we will become, and that's judgmental. And to be judgmental is having or displaying an excessively critical point of view. Now, as the night's lesson progress, we'll find out that there are many people who consider themselves to be doing well, but those that have been out there, those have been through the mill, have been ran through the ringer. The way we greet them, the way we treat them, the way we welcome them back in the house of prayer, we're being extremely judgmental. Over there in Galatians, the word tells us that if your brother is overcome in a fault, that you restore him or you restore her gently. Now, if you've been out there in the world and you've went contrary to God's word, and you finally came to yourself, just like the prodigal son did, and you go back to a place that has long faces, you go back to a place that where the welcoming committee is not there, then that's the type of thing that will make you turn around and go back out there into the world. When people constantly reminding you of what you just did, when people constantly will not let you live it down, when people are constantly throwing it back up in your face, you want to go back to a place of love. You want to go back to a place of comfort. You want to go back to a place that welcomed you with open arms, despite the fact that you may have transgressed against God. And see, that's where our biggest problem come in at. When we go back into the house of prayer, people act like you sinned against them. They act like you done them wrong. But I got news for you, and we're going to start off with that prodigal son. He went out there, and he did everything he thought he was big enough to do. He asked his dad, he said, give me the goods that fall to me. And it says in God's word that the father divided his substance between the two sons. And see, I want to point out something here in case you have never done your research. But see, back then, the eldest brother, he was entitled. He got a bigger portion of the inheritance than the younger brother. The eldest brother, he got two-thirds, and the younger brother got one-third. But the younger brother, he went out there. We know the story. He went out there. He partied hard. He went way on the other side of town, like we sometimes do, to hide away from those people that is in the church. You know, we might, like to cover up a person's gambling habit in Michigan. Okay, now they got three casinos downtown. But some people might say, no, I might run to some of my brothers and sisters down there. And so I'll go over to Toledo. I'll go up north. I'll go to the Indian reservation. You know, we try to conceal that which we're doing. But then, as I say, he joined himself a citizen of that far country. And needless to say, the brother fell on extremely hard times. He got to the point where all those things that he was taught against, he was on the verge of doing. And he came to himself. He said, I don't have to live like this. I don't have to go through what I'm going through. But then something happened to him. A magnificent change happened to him. Whereas he come to that realization, He knew that he couldn't go. See, a lot of times we leave away from a place arrogant and cocky, but then we know that we can't go back with that same attitude. We cannot go there with that attitude, so we have to submit ourselves.
That's right. That's right.
We have to come back. We have to come back being humble. We have to come back being basically a totally different person. So the oldest brother, when he got wind of it, when he seen his father dashing to him, to the younger brother, he began to get jealous. He began to say, what is all this ruckus about? So whenever they had Bible study, I'm just throwing a scenario at you. Whenever they had Bible study on Wednesdays and they went to the dad's house, it took the dad 15 minutes to get from the couch to the front door. He just moved just that slow. But all of a sudden, he see his dad in a full sprint running out there to meet that lost brother. And so can you imagine how it might seem that the preacher is excited to see somebody that has went astray? And so we assemble up these things in our mind, and we begin to say to ourselves, oh, they don't deserve that all the time. So, and one thing we have a tendency of doing, whenever we get upset with somebody, we have a tendency of disowning that person. So the father told him, hey, your brother that was lost is found. The one that is blind now can see. The one that was lost, he can finally come home. So the oldest brother was not too excited about that. So he began to become judgmental. And he become judgmental to the extent that he began to say some excessively critical things about your brother. He began to say, man, I'm just paraphrasing here. Say, man, you mean to tell me you let that dude come back and up there? He was laying with harlots. He was doing everything. He was shooting dice. He was snorting drugs. And you mean to tell me you were that excited about him? He became judgmental, because a lot of times we don't exactly know the circumstances. To see in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, God's word is saying that we're not supposed to judge anybody. And the first chapter, the 17th verse, which I'm going to read to you in a minute, we realize that God is the one that can judge. In the 3rd verse of Matthew, the 7th chapter, it says, and why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and not consider the beam that is in thy own eye? In other words,
I knew that thing.
Why in the world are you criticizing your brother when you are full of sin yourself? Because we sin daily, we come short of the glory of God. But see, sometimes we get into that self-righteous attitude, whereas because I have made it into the ark of safety, because I attend church services on a regular basis, because I contributed to the building fund, because I went out on mission. But see, I let that little monster, that killer in my mouth, tear people down who really want to come back to the house of prayer. I'm being judgmental to such an extent because, see, they're not looking at all those people. They're so happy to see them, so glad that they finally came to the reality of serving in the true and the living God. They're looking at that one individual that's way back in that corner, fuming. Why? Because that brother came back. Fuming. Why? Because it seems like that brother or sister is getting all that attention. But moving around quickly, if you think about it, that eldest brother back to the prodigal son, he had enough money to throw himself a party. He had enough. He became really selfish. He said, hey, you never threw a party for me and my friends. You never did this. So all of these things, he had the money to make provisions. You never fed me the the fatted calf. You never done none of these things. And so this is how we do. We become judgmental in our way of thinking. And by being judgmental, we become excessively critical. We begin to find faults. And as I say about the mote and the beam, why am I going to magnify that situation with my brother and not throw myself down and say, Lord, I need some help too? At least one thing, he came to the realization that he needed some help. He came to the realization that sometimes we just make up our mind and say, Lord, I can't keep on living like this. So we submit ourselves wholeheartedly to the Lord. We come back with that contrite spirit, with that receptive spirit, with that humble spirit, because we know that we have gone astray. And see, he didn't want, or he felt that he could not come back with the position that he had before he left. He knew that he had fell to a lowly state. So on the way home, he probably would practice that lowly speech. Well, Father, I wasn't myself, this, that, and the other, so forth and on. So you know how we do sometimes when we go to apologize to somebody? It be sincere, but we want to pick out the right words to say to that individual without re-offending them. So on the way home, this brother, he probably in his mind was thinking about what it was that he needed to say to his father, because he didn't offend the brother by leaving. But see, sometimes in the church, we take offense when people go out there and do whatever it is that they do. We take it like they were doing it against us. But see, I got news for you. Whatever it is that my brother do against me, they ain't doing it against me. They're doing it against God. God's word backed me up on that. It said, the least ye do to these, my little ones.
That's right.
You do it unto me. You do it unto me. So it's time for us to get our posteriors off our shoulders and quit taking things so personal and just open up our arms as well as our hearts to those who have gone astray. It's time for us to be less judgmental. It's time for us to be less critical. Why? Because there are a lot of people that go out there, a lot of people that won't approach that pastor. Why? Or won't come back to that church. Why? Because they intimidated. Now, why should I be intimidated about going to the emergency room? That's my help. Why should I ever in my life feel that that's not the place, or I'm going to stay out there and get more sin sick and more sin sick than I was by trying to avoid those people that's going to put me down, not those people that's going to lift me up? So judgmental is an extremely powerful thing. We don't have no idea with our actions, because it says that our act or even our thoughts can trigger being judgmental, because, see, we're showing partiality. And when you're being critical or you're being judgmental, what it's doing is that you're wishing some type of punishment on that individual. So I know a lot of times we say, I know you ain't letting them get away with that. But see, that ain't none of our business. Once again, that ain't none of our business. That's God's business.
That's
God's
right.
God's word says that if one person should get lost, that preacher should go out there and search for him, because it says 99 in heaven rejoice over one sinner that comes back than 99 just who already there. So if I come into that atmosphere, that intimidating atmosphere where people are seem like they don't want me there, then that's my incentive, because see, I'm coming back on shaky ground anyway. Coming back with the attitude that, like people say, I've seen it on many different occasions where people say, oh, don't worry about it. Those drugs going to pull them back out. That alcohol going to pull them back. That other woman out there is going to pull them back. So it's a shame to be condemned before you even have your trial. So
I know that's right.
So we have to continuously. Okay, over there in John, the 7th chapter, 24th verse, they do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment. See, a lot of times we look at somebody and we say because their clothes are tattered and we just went and just bought new outfits and everything, we look down on that person. But I say, once again, we don't know that individual circumstance. We don't know that individual heart. And it happens in our businesses, happens in our churches, it happens in our family when a brother or sister have went the opposite direction. We seem to have a party and we gang up on that individual. And that's why that individual, the more we talk about them, the further away from us they want to be. I know that a lot of you have heard that my family is nothing. Why? Because that family does not get that individual the support that they need. Not the support that they're looking for, but the support that they need. Because you can tell when somebody is truly offering you a hand instead of a handout. Because we want to become and think in some situation that we are self-sufficient in the things that we do. We want it to seem as humans, and it's kind of funny and it's kind of fickle, but we want to seem like certain things were our idea. Because if it's not my idea and you just suggest it to me, it's going to take a while for me to embrace that. But see, being judgmental is toxic. Being judgmental has ran many people out of the church, away from the church. God's word is telling us tonight, don't be judgmental. See, over here in Matthew, God's word is speaking out against being judgmental. It is. Number two, it says, for what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And what judgment ye meet, it shall be meted, it shall be measured to you again. So it's an old saying that I know a lot of you are familiar with. And that saying will be, what goes around
So, today,
you might be on top, riding high, but what about tomorrow? What about when the insurance company and the mortgage company wants to repossess your house because you had a major illness in your family and you took your mortgage payment to take care of something to you that you thought was way more important? But the mortgage company, just like with judgmental, didn't show you no type of love, didn't give you no type of forbearance. See, we got to forbear one for the other. We have to go each other's mind because, see, being judgmental is detrimental. Being judgmental is not incidental because we will go and we will look at things and we will say to ourselves and become excessively critical. Why? Because somebody else didn't live up to our standards, not God's standards. But once again, you coming back to that place, you know, just like a welcome back, Carter. Welcome back to that same old place that you talked about, the same old place that you laughed about, the same old place where you saw that people wasn't no good. God's word is like that. God's word will straighten you out.
Will send
you back with apologies in your mouth. Because if I'm telling you the truth, sometimes it's a shame, but the truth will chase people away. And a reason why a lot of people, and the Lord has been working with my mind really good. The other day, I was saying, you know, I asked the Lord, and he might not answer me directly, but he'll show me something soon thereafter that will answer what it was that I asked him. So I said, Lord, why is it that a lot of people don't read their Bible like they're supposed to? I didn't say about coming into the house of prayer, but why don't people, you know, read the Bible and study the Bible like they should? And it was an answer, and it was a comical answer, but it was a true answer. And that answer that I got was that The reason why a lot of people stop reading the Bible is because they don't like it telling them the truth.
That's right.
You know, they don't like the Bible telling them about their evil ways. Some people will get extremely mad with you when you tell them what does say the Lord or the wages of sin is death. They will point that finger back at you. But see, that's not, it's a difference in being judgmental and being critical and telling the truth. Because see, when you tell the truth, you're just going to go on about your father's business. You're going, as last week's Thursday lesson said, you're going to deliver and go. Because if you stay there any while longer, then that's just you. But every messenger that the Lord sent out there from Jonah on down, they delivered the message, and they went about their father's business. They had other things to do. But see, Jonah was a unique situation because he had had some run-ins. He had beef with the Ninevites, so he wanted God to punish them. He became critical in his way of thinking. Well, hey, I need to die and this, that, and the other. But can you imagine that because somebody told you the truth or somebody, or because God didn't respond in the manner in which you think he should respond, said, Lord, I'd rather die than you forgive these people. So we have to be extremely careful because the time is at hand for us not to do these things. Now, Romans 2:1 says, therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you the judge practices the very same thing. So my pastor would say in a situation like that, all you're doing is keeping hot coals up on your own head. Mm-hmm. So that's that. When we was in the second and third grade, that's that rubber and glue thing. Hey, it bounces off of me and it sticks right back on you. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful because there, as I say, there's some people in our lives who hold a high position, you know, the company CEO and everything, the pastor, that we become totally intimidated by them and we're so scared to approach them. But guess what? They run roughshod over us. But God's word is saying, don't be critical. God's word is saying, you just tell them the truth and you keep on going. But see, sometimes we don't have no idea. We don't have no idea of the damage that we inflict by being judgmental. We don't know the circumstances of why people do those things. But see, that Good Samaritan, when he dismounted his beast and he helped that gentleman, he didn't say, man, I told you to stay yourself off of Mack Avenue. But what he did, he helped him. He bound him up. He told him, he said, hey, man, I'm going to take you down to receiving hospital, and I'm going to get you some help. And so in the process of him doing that, he said, okay, I'll tell you what. I found his brother on the side of the road. Abide till I come. You know, if the bill go over, whatever it is, hey, charge it to me. And he was good for it. So sometimes when we begin to look at things and we begin to verbalize things, we got to, you know, another topic would be careful of what you say. Because words are just like dagger. Words, you know, can sting. Words can kill. You know, not necessarily take your life, but they can kill your spirit. If you're enthusiastic about something, say, Pastor, you know, I got this program that, you know, that we're gonna feed the hungry and everything, and I already come up with a plan. There, Pastor, say, look, we already got enough programs going on around here. Get on out my face. Not now. Now that idea that the Lord gave you, they've been shot down. And could you imagine how it is when we go to our parents, when we go to the pastor, when we go to that person in authority, and they just shoot down that good idea that we just said. Now, we would feel better if they said, okay, well, I'll tell you what we do, we'll look into that. Well, I think that's a good idea. But see, that being judgmental, because a lot of times people don't want your ideas to exceed their ideas. You know, people look at the musical ministry of a Brother Brown, who probably never took no music lessons, and he played like he's in the angelic choir, and they get jealous. He ain't got no degree. He ain't got no music degree, so set him down. He ain't got this, so set him down. Now, how critical or how judgmental is that? If he can get up there, because the Lord says, even if he get up there and play off key, say, make a joyful noise.
That's right.
We listen at things, and because it's not pleasing or because it's not melodious to our ears, or we hear somebody singing and they singing off key. But I have heard people on many different occasions sing off key, and the tears in my eyes just got to flowing. Why? Because they were singing from their heart.
They were feeling what it was
that they were singing. So you don't have to have, you know, the voice of Aretha Franklin or Mahalia Jackson or any one of those singers or CeCe Winans or anything like that. Just sing. Just do what it is that the Lord asks you to do. Because we got some critical people out there. We got some people out there that will be judgment, that will doubt and put a damper on your capabilities only because you're doing things in your heart. So my brothers and my sisters, now is the time for us to take inventory and say, what to ask ourselves, what is it that I said to chase this person out of the church, or what is it that I can do? I could be more receptive. I can put my feelings on the side, because see, my feelings don't count when somebody's coming back in the house of prayer. I'm supposed to be excited. I'm supposed to jump up and click my heels. I'm not supposed to participate in a conversation on the side, because the demon is the what's master of the airways. And that conversation that I thought was in private back there in the bathroom, guess what? It can filter to the ears of that vulnerable individual that just came back. You know how sometimes you're doing something, you say, wow, somebody talking about me, because their words be like burning in your ear. And see, that demon, he can manipulate the airways. Or you say something, and by the time it reaches somebody, they offended, because they say, what you say to me? They say, no, I didn't say it like that. And it takes on a new meaning. So now is not the time to be judgmental. Now is the time to be loving, to be receptive, to be in that type of situation where we can go and do what it is that the Lord will have us to do. Now I'm going to read to you from Deuteronomy, the first chapter, 17 verse. It says, you shall not be partial in judgment. You shall hear the small and great alike. Okay. You shall not be intimidated by anyone. For the judgment, all right, this is what I've been telling you. For the judgment is God's, and the case is too hard for you. You shall bring to me, and I will hear it. Now, wait a minute. Now, hold on a minute. If I'm not mistaken, I believe God was just saying that when man don't listen to you, it's time for you to take your case to what? The Supreme Court. Not the Supreme Court of the United States. But he said he would hear your case. So my brothers and my sisters, we got something going for us, because they say, you know, the case is too big for you. You know, this is not a trivial lawsuit when people go to mistreat you, when people go to treating you like you ain't nobody. Say, hey, let me read this again. That's really interesting right there. Let me just read it. Say, you shall not be partial in judgment. In other words, you can't favoritize people. You shall hear the small and great alike. So that means that everybody got a case to say, you shall not be intimidated. Uh-oh, what I say about intimidation, those things that we're intimidated about, we kind of like shy away from him and say, man, that dude is too powerful. You know, he'd take everything that I have. But hey, not if God, not, you know, if God has something to say about it, it's say, by, don't be intimidated by anyone, for the judgment is God. Wait a minute, God's dead. I ain't got no business because Brother Brown got Miss Max socks on to say that he's uncoordinated. I don't have no business to say that. He probably, like I have done many times, I put on my socks in the dark. And then I got the church, I had one blue sock on and one black sock on.
Brown.
So the rest of my outfit was matching, but I put on a wrong sock. I had a blue sock and a black sock. But nobody has that right to judge me. Say, but the judgment is God's, and the case is too hard for you. You shall bring to me, and I will hear. Why don't you take your case to the Supreme Court? When it seems like nobody is listening to you, take your case to the Supreme Court. When it seems like nobody understands you, God said that he will hear it. When it seems like the odds is against you, God promised just then in Deuteronomy, the first chapter, the 17th verse, that he will hear your case. And see, by him being the only one that can judge, all of those default payments that man said that you owe, God will cancel those out. All of those things, that penalties that man put on you, once God solves your case, it's solved. You don't have to worry about it. So I'm just saying, judgmental is something else. It's time for us to get away from that, start loving, to be more kind in our thoughts, to be even kinder in our deeds, putting people down because they was carried away in a fault. Time for us to look at one another and not see strangers, but see understanding brothers, to see need for brothers. So my brothers and my sisters, I'm going to leave you with that thought. It's not time to be judgmental. Time to love. It's time to bridle our tongue. Because see, your body English, a lot of times you don't have to say nothing, but the way in which your body English carries on, some people will tell by your posture, by your demeanor, that you're not satisfied. You know how sometimes mama would give us that look. When she gave us that look, oh boy, I'm in trouble.
Well, yeah, I know
she
about
didn't
that.
Say a word.
Yeah.
She did not say a word, but she gave us that look. And sometimes we
yes,
give that
Lord.
Look to people when we're dissatisfied. We learned that from mama, but see, a lot of times when we're not satisfied, it's for the wrong reasons. So I thank you for the privilege of your time. May God bless you and may ever keep you. And remember, being judgmental is not what God wants us to do. Amen. Now I'll turn you back over to the hands of Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, you did it again. Thank God with the help of the Lord and through the Holy Spirit, you did it again. Wow, what a powerful word on tonight. A lot of Christians need to hear this word and receive this word and abide by this word because it is so true. Sometimes we don't have to say anything. Sometimes we can just give a person a look. And people, some people do pick up, they have discerning spirits, whether they say it or not. They may have a discerning spirit, and they can pick up on the signs. So it's very important that we not be judgmental. We can righteously judge according to God's word, but when we come down to our personal feelings and our attitudes, no, that's wrong. That's not pleasing to God, that we judge people, our sisters and brothers in Christ, like that, and that we don't judge those that are trying to come into the body of Christ, that's trying to be delivered and set free and trying to give their lives over to Jesus Christ. And those that are new babes in Christ, we don't want to run them away from the Lord. We don't want to be liabilities to the kingdom of God. We want to be assets in every way, in every shape, in every form, that God would get the glory out of our lives. So Deacon Marvin Cox, once again, I just want to say to you, you continue to do what God has called and anointed and appointed for you to do, because you have most definitely delivered this word again on tonight, and I tried not to say anything, but I just couldn't help myself because the word, you know, it's like that. You just can't hold your peace because when the word is going like it's like a two-edged sword, it cuts going and coming all the way down to the marrow of the bone. Now, that's what the word of God says. So when you know the word is being truthful and it's being spoken and it's of God, you can't help but speak on it, and you got to be a witness. And so and I know the listeners probably heard me in the background, but that's all right. I'm just going along with what the word say and what the man of God has applied according to the word, that those of us that have listened to this word on tonight, and that's what I love about this, this is a worldwide platform. This is a worldwide ministry. I was looking at my dashboard the other day, and I was looking at the different countries where this ministry is being heard, over in Africa, Japan, over in Germany, over in all over the Canada, in all over Africa, all over the world. This is a worldwide ministry and platform, and I give God the glory, the honor, and praise that he allowed me to be over this worldwide platform and ministry. And I still say this like I did last week, last Thursday night, and that God knows the truth. I thank God for every man and every woman that comes forth over this worldwide platform. I don't take it lightly or for granted. I thank God for everyone that delivers God's word over this worldwide platform. Thank God for everyone that shares their powerful testimonies to give God glory over this worldwide platform. Every musician, everyone that comes forth singing God's praises and music, I thank God for everyone that plays a role and have a part of this worldwide ministry platform. I cannot do this by myself. So it's not me, but it's God in us. I said us. When we come together on one accord, touching and agreeing according to God's word. And that's what it's all about. That's how God get the glory, because we know that it's not about us, but it's about him. It's about his son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. Lord Jesus, Deacon Marvin Cox, you making me get happy right now. I wish my organ was working at home. I'd go in there and hear the note on the organ right now. But thank God, Lord, be willing to let me see tomorrow. I will be on the organ tomorrow at the church. So giving God praise and glory and honor on the instruments, on the organ. So I don't take that lightly either. I'm not bragging or boasting. I'm just giving God glory for all the gifts and talents that he blessed me with. And just like he blessed me with gifts and talents, listener, don't take your gifts and your talents lightly. Don't be judgmental. If you see someone or you think someone is outdoing you, no, do your part. Do what God gave you to do. He did not give you the voice of Aretha Franklin, just like Deacon Cox said. He might not have given you the voice of Mahalia Jackson, but whatever voice he gave you, sing it to the glory of God. Not to be men pleasers, but it's all that God will get the glory. And I thank God once again for the Thursday night lesson from Deacon Marvin Cox. Lord, deliver and go. Deliver the word of God, whatever he told you to tell the people. This is even for pastors on tonight. Once you preach that word, you deliver the word what God gave you, but you just deliver the word. Don't try to look back and see the outcome. Just deliver the word and go. Deliver the word and sit down. So on tonight, we came back with this powerful lesson on tonight. Don't be judgmental. Only God is the final judge. So, Deacon Marvin Cox, once again, I thank you. And I thank God for every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry and platform, even to the new listeners on tonight, all over the world. Thank God for each one of you. And I continue to pray for you all, and I'm asking that you all will continue to pray for me and my family in this worldwide platform and ministry, that God will continue to be glorified through it, that because it's all about him. It's all about his son, Jesus Christ. So we're going to close out tonight in prayer, as we always do. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for my cousin, Pastor Norman King. I see he has dialed into the program on tonight, so we continue to lift him up in prayer. Not only him, but our Uncle Malachi, continue to bless him, listen and heal his body as well, and all those that are sick and afflicted, for whatever reason, you know all about it, because we don't have to send you, you're already there. So we know that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders for your glory as you're healing your people, you're delivering your people, and you're setting your people free in the name of Jesus. Continue to comfort and strengthen all those that are bereaved on tonight, all over the land. Continue to bless and have mercy on Jerusalem and Israel. Continue to have mercy upon all those who are duty-bound to pray for the less fortunate. Continue to have your way in our lives, Heavenly Father, as sisters and brothers in Christ. individually, and as we come together on one accord, that you will get the glory. And Heavenly Father, we come once again asking on tonight that even on tomorrow, whether we are in the house of worship or over social media delivering your word, that your word go forth with power to every man and every woman that's going to deliver your word, that souls will be saved, that backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word, that you will get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, again for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, for his great work on the cross, his finished work on the cross. Because of that, we have total victory. And we thank you that he did not stay there. He's not in the grave now. He rose again, just like he said he would. And he's now sitting at your right hand with all power in his hand. So we thank you for him. We thank you for his great sacrifice for mankind. And we thank you that the blood of Jesus still works, and it will never lose its power. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a promise keeper, that you said in your word that once we are saved and in your hands, that nothing and no one can pluck us out. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for being a promise keeper. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes in, and every listener that has tuned in on tonight for the first time. Continue to bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts. I lift up my sister in Christ that blessed me on yesterday, Sister Sharon. You know who she is, Heavenly Father. I don't have to go into detail. You know all about it. You know how she blessed me on yesterday. I told her that I would call out her name on this worldwide ministry platform, that her name would be called. I don't remember her last name, but you know her, who she is. Sister Sharon, continue to bless her, Lord. Continue to bless her so she continue to be a blessing to others, that you will get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
So you clean me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth
saving.
You came.
You came
and changed my life. You thought I